And good to see. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Judges, chapter 7. You'll go to the book of Judges, chapter 7. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture to you out of the book of Deuteronomy, and then I'm going to come over and catch up with you. And we're going to read a verse there. Just a second. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy, we'll read a verse of Scripture out of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 30, and then we're going to move on over to Judges, chapter 6. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, "How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them?" Then the book of Judges chapter 7, beginning in verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel claim glory for herself against me, saying, My own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim the hearing of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 people returned, and only 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. Then it will be that of whom I say, unto whom I say unto you, This one shall go with you, and the same shall go with you. And whomsoever I say unto you, This one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, anyone who gets down on his knees to drink. The number of those who lap, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, and every man to his place." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that God, everything you do corporately. Everything you use the body. And we just pray this morning that this short time that we have together, that through your word, that we have an understanding this morning how powerful you are when the people of God walk in unity. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're faithful to this church and has been faithful. And so, God, we just pray that you'll just continue to bless us, watch over us, and now let your presence walk into this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all of God's saints said, amen. Amen. I told them on Thursday, I said that God always deals with us where he finds us, right? A corrupt man who does not know Christ as his Savior, God will always deal with him based on salvation. That's how God deals with a man who does not walk with God. Everything that he deals with him on is based upon his walk and based upon salvation. A saved man, not a corrupt man, is a covenant man. And the church has to understand that when you're a covenant man, you're not just individual, but you are part of a bigger body, which is the church. And so as a covenant believer, there are certain things that come to you, certain blessings that come to your life as a believer. So when you got saved and you came to Christ, you gave your life to Jesus, there are certain blessings that come on your life because you have a covenant with God. And so there's a blessing that comes on you covenantly when you give your life to Christ. But the greater blessing is that a blessing that comes out of a corporate body or unity in the body. There are some things that you'll get as a believer that the Bible has promised you and that you'll get on your own. But there are some blessings, there are some breakthroughs, there are some things in our lives that we only get through the corporate body. That's why the Bible says that you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with one another. Because the truth is, there may be some things you get individually through the Scripture, but there are a lot of things that God does through the body. And there's a lot of things that he accomplishes through the body. And so the greater blessing is the corporate blessing, is that God takes a group of people who are faithful to him, who serve him and walk in unity. And he takes that unity and he uses them to do things corporately with them that they could not do individually. And everybody said, thank God. There are some things that God will allow us to do as a church, as a corporate body, that we never could accomplish on our own. And it's a corporate blessing. The difficult is that we've been raised in this fiercely independent, individualized me, myself, and I culture. And that is not what Jesus came to build. Jesus came to build the church. And Jesus came to build a body, an ethnos, a corporate body, a Christ in the earth. And the frustration comes is that when we get to the place to where we're just interested in our own individual blessings, that we forget about the corporate blessing, or we forget about the church. Now, I'm going somewhere this morning. Just hang with me. And so there are certain things we don't get ourselves. You can't build churches and the blessing of God when we have folks that are just about doing everything for themselves, right? And so there's certain things that God can't build. And there comes out a unity in the corporate body and blessing that comes in that unity. That's why it says there in Deuteronomy, it says that one man shall chase 1,000 to flight, but two shall what? Chase 10,000. Now, in my Northern Kentucky river boy mentality, at Ludlow High School where I got my higher education, that math was not my best subject, right? So math tells me that if one sets 1,000 to flight, right, then two should set what? 2,000 to flight, right? But that's not what it said. It said what? It said one shall set 1,000, but two shall set 10,000. So that tells me that in God's economy, that in God's structure, that God don't think like we think. And that there's greater blessing in the body and corporately, and more you could do corporately than what you can do individually. And so God wants to develop a corporate body, a corporate church, a corporate blessing. He wants to pour out corporate blessings in our lives and take those corporate blessings and touch us and use us in a way that where we could not do individually as a church. I believe there are times when God speaks to us as a church prophetically. I think there are times that it's very important as a church that when the Word of God comes to us prophetically that we receive it. It's like a seed that has been sown into the hearts of the people. That if it doesn't take root, then what? Then it's stolen. And all of a sudden, if it doesn't take root, then the people can kill it with unbelief. And so when God speaks to us prophetically and talks to us as a body prophetically, it has to have life to it. The prophetic accelerates life. And so when God speaks to us as a corporate body and wants to pour out corporate blessing, God wants to touch our lives corporately. I don't believe we have to wait 50 years for a revival. I don't believe we have to wait 15 years for God to do something and for God to do something spectacular or do something in our generation. I believe sometimes we just have to step out by faith corporately as a body and just push on God a little bit and say, God, we're not satisfied with where we are. We're not satisfied where we're at right now, but we want to push on you so that you can do something greater now and that we corporately, through our unity, can be blessed by you. The problem is in a lot of churches and a lot of places, they don't walk in unity. And when you don't have unity, then you don't have corporate blessing. And so what happens is we fall short. We never reach where God wants us to be because we don't know how to act unity and corporately in unity. So we don't know how to seek out the blessing of God. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like when Jesus had gone to the wedding in Canaan Y'all remember that? And Jesus was there, and Mary came to Jesus, and she said, hey, we got a crisis here. They've run out of wine. And Jesus said to her, he said, woman, he said, my time has not come yet. And she said, well, that may be the case, but they still don't have wine. And so she pushed on Jesus. And she said, we have a crisis here. There's a situation here. And then the Bible said, what did Jesus do? It said he turned to the servants and he took the water pots and he began to turn the water into wine and to do something supernaturally, all because his mother had pushed on him. And what may not seem like our time right now, I believe that if we push on Jesus, he'll begin to do things that he normally wouldn't do. But if there's a group of people that are hungry enough, if there are a group of people that want to seek him, that want to push on him just a little bit, and say, Lord, I know that maybe this ain't the right time, but we're hungry for a move of God. We're hungry as a church to see you move in this hour. I believe that as we push on Jesus, that he can move corporately in this church and in this body. She told him, she said, whatever he says, you do. And so we need to be like the servants of God, who said, and the servants saw what he did. Now, I'm looking for some Christians this morning. I'm looking for some Christians that are willing to step out in an hour and be the kind of Christians that are not sad Christians, that are not silly Christians, tired Christians, or Christians who are ashamed of the gospel, who aren't afraid to step in by faith and do something that they've never done before. God's looking for some Christians who won't skip some pages in the book and just go ahead and live the whole book and preach the gospel without compromise, and preach Jesus and life to all men, and get together in one body. And when we come together in unity, I believe God can begin to do things corporately for us that we could not get individually. And so God wants to move on us this morning. He was looking for some people that have the guts to say, devil, look out. We're going to get what God has for us. We're going to find our destiny. We're going to pull on God and by faith pull. In other words, sometimes it takes faith to pull out of heaven what we need as a body to come on this earth. Sometimes it takes faith to pull out, understanding that God is what? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that is what? That is in us. It didn't say in just you. But he said he can do abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we think or all that we can understand. And us, it's a corporate word. It's a word that says that there's a group by faith. The book of Acts was not the church in its mature, but in its infancy. When you read in the book of Acts, you see the church in its infancy. You don't see it in its maturity. And if that is what it looks like as a baby, what does God have for us when we get mature? Think about that for a minute. When you read the book of Acts, that's not a mature church. That's a church in its infancy. That's a church in its beginning. And if it could do what it did in the book of Acts in its infancy, what could happen if a church matures and gets to the place where it walks in maturity and walks in unity together? We could be a church that could do exploits for God if we just find that vein of unity that God could work inside us. Now, praise God. Now, I'm the only one getting happy up here. So hopefully you'll get it or I'll preach till 1 o'clock. Listen, God is looking for some people. He wants to bless us corporately. He wants to bless us as a body, not just individually. And I want to tell you, I'm here to declare this morning, there's some blessings that this church can experience corporately with God that we can't get on ourselves if we'll just make the commitment to one another that we're going to walk in the unity and union that God has created us to walk in so that we can obtain everything that God has for us and everything he wants to do. There's a corporate unity that God wants to bring us into and a corporate blessing that God wants to bring us into. That's why one sets 1,000 and two sets 10,000. And so how do you unlock that? How do you unlock unity? How do you unlock the unity of the body? There's two ways that you do that. See, When I was a kid, the most often report that came to my parents from my school was this. They would say, now, he has potential. He has great potential. And we don't know why he don't do it, but he has a lot of potential. And they would say to him, they'd say, well, there's a lot that he could do. He just don't do it. And there's a lot that he could accomplish. He just don't do it. Now, I was an active child. And so school wasn't exactly the most exciting place for me. I could not figure out why we had to go in there and sit all day, right? And so every report they'd say, well, he has the potential to do this and he has the potential to do that. And I would think to myself, I was always distracted as a child. And so, you know, I could not get to the place to where I could just tap into potential that was always in me because there was always something derailing me. Whether I was getting in trouble or something else, I just couldn't get that place of potential. And so it's like this. It's like this in the church. Potential means that you haven't done nothing yet. That's what potential means, right? So if anybody says to you, you got the potential to do something, in other words, what they're telling you is you haven't done anything. Right? Come on, y'all help me. Right? It may not be a good thing at work if they come to you and say, well, you got the potential to be a good employee. What they're saying is you ain't done anything yet, but we know it's in you. And so we use that word a lot for the church. We say the church has the potential to be this and to be that. And what it means is we haven't done anything yet. It's not that I don't have what it takes to get something done. It means I can still do it, right? And yet to do it and I can still do it. In other words, it's not who I am, but it's what I could be, right? And so when we talk about potential and we talk about what unlocks unity and what unlocks corporate blessing, potential unlocks corporate blessing. But it's revelation, having a revelation is what unlocks your potential in your life. So, for instance, as a church, we have the potential to step into what God has for us. Is that not right? How many know God is much more willing to do for us all that He has called us to do? How many know God is willing this morning to pour out on this church the kind of blessings on us that we have never experienced before in our life? How many know God wants to do something at River Valley? Right? How many know we have the potential to host the presence of God? We have the potential to do exploits for God and do things that we never thought we could do. We all have that potential. But how do you get to that potential? How do you unlock that potential? How do you keep from becoming the kind of church that where you're always living in that state of what could be or what can be? Or living individually and never stepping into the place to where you walk in unity and all of a sudden there's corporate blessing. The way that you unlock it is through revelation. You say, well, what do you mean, revelation, Pastor? The problem with me is that everybody said I had potential, but they didn't know how to unlock it in my life. They didn't know how to unlock that potential that was in my life. And I'm reminded of what happened to Peter in Matthew 16. Jesus came to Peter, and what did he say? He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, you're the Son of God. And then what did Jesus say, paraphrasing to Peter? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, right? But my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter all of a sudden got a revelation of who Jesus was. Now stay with me on this. Peter all of a sudden, he had been with Jesus all that time. All that time he had been with Jesus. And now all of a sudden, he got a revelation of who Jesus was. He got a revelation of what Jesus stood for, what he represented, that he was the Son of God, that God sent him to die for the sins of the world. And Peter got a hold of that. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then what did he say to Peter? He said, upon this rock, all right, second gear, we're gearing it up. We're getting ready to head into the next phase. He said, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. In other words, Peter, you have now left the position of just the natural mind. Now I have unlocked to you the secret by which I'm calling you to. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And it's upon the revelation that Peter had that he was the Son of God. It was the revelation that he had. In other words, he said, look, Peter, from this day forward, you have unlocked something. And now what's on the inside of you, what has always been there, but had been locked up because you've gotten this revelation, now you can unlock it, and the potential that is in you and the potential that is in the church to come can be revealed unto them. And you can do corporately now as a church what you could not do before because you've got a revelation of who I am. And to unlock the potential that's in this church, we have to have an understanding that there's a revelation of God. And if we get who God is this morning, if we learn as believers who he is and understand what he can do and what he can bring us through and what he can call us to do, if we get a revelation of who Jesus is, there's nothing that we can't do as a church. That's what unlocks the potential that's here, is a revelation of who he is. In other words, the promises of Scripture, that's the potential that's in our lives. In other words, that God would bless his people. That promise is potential. It's one thing to read the Word of God and to read the promises of God. But if you don't have a revelation of what it is, right, it does you no good this morning. Come on, y'all help me. If you don't have a revelation with the promises that are in the Word of God, you won't live victoriously. You'll know of the promises, but you won't walk in the promises. But when you get a revelation of the Word, and you understand the promises that God has put in this word for his church, and you get a revelation of what that is, all of a sudden you're not just hearing a promise now. Now you've unlocked in you what God wants for your life. And when you step into it, he fulfills it. When you play those principles out, when you live those principles out, all of a sudden you've unlocked something. And that's how you unlock the principles of revelation. I want to read a verse of scripture to you. And just to say, I don't know if y'all getting this like I'm getting this, but I got so happy this morning that I did a Holy Ghost jig sitting right there in my living room this morning because I saw something this morning. Listen, this word is full of promise to us. It's a love letter to the church, sweetheart. This thing is full of every answer that we need in life and every answer that we need to live victorious in life. But it's one thing to read the promise, but it's another thing to get a revelation of it. And when you get a revelation of it, all of a sudden you've stepped from one realm into another realm, and the curtain has been folded back, and now you're living on a plane you never thought you could live on. And if we get a revelation of what God has for the church, and what God wants to use the church for, and what God wants to use this body for. Can I share something with you? Can I just tell you, as much as I like seeing you on Sunday, and as much as you look on Sunday when you dress up, and you come in here and you look nice, and you smell good, and all of that, can I tell you that even though that I like seeing you, but one of the reasons God has brought us together is not just to look good and look pretty and not just to come in and play church, but that God would encompass in us a revelation of who he is so that we as the church can do some things that we couldn't do individually, but that we could do corporately and touch a world, a city, and a nation that we never thought we could touch. Aha! Hallelujah. So revelation unlocks the corporate blessing. I want to read this scripture. This has kind of been the scripture that I've used as the theme for our body. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How many like that promise in Scripture? What did it say? If my people. First he said, if my people. Now that's conditional. That's a responsibility, right? If. God says if. Now if you tell your kids, you say, now if you clean your room up, I'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese. Right? How many know that's conditional then? How many know that's not a guarantee that you can go Chuck E. Cheese? Right? How many know it's a promise? How many know that it's got potential? How many know that it can stir something up in you? Right? But how many know that if you don't clean your room, right? Right, Don? You're not going to Chuck E. Cheese. Becky's not taking you to Chuck E. Cheese. Right? It's conditional. And the promises in the Word of God are conditional. Listen, we say as the church all the time, well, I don't know if God loves us. I don't know if God cares about us. I don't know, you know, I'll just, you know, yeah. We just want to complain. But the truth is that it's not just about reading the Word, right? It's doing the Word. And when you stop just hearing the Word and doing the Word, you get a revelation of the Word, and then the Word can take you places you couldn't go if you just sat there and just heard the Word. And so it said, if. And then it said this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. In other words, then, it's an activation word. It's a word where God activates. In other words, when you are faithful, all of a sudden, then God begins to move. Then God brings life to the Word. Then God begins to move on our behalf. Then God begins to hear our prayer. Then God begins to move. Then all of a sudden, things begin to shift and change. It says, and then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. How many know that's a great promise? And then verse 15 says, and then it goes from if, which is conditional, and then, which is God moving, an active movement. Then it goes to verse 15 where it says, and now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made for this place. For now, in other words, it means, here's what the word means. The word now means to a demonstration of force. It means a demonstration of force. In other words, when the condition of if we walk in faithfulness, and then God begins to activate, and then it says, now you can have what the promise is. Now you can walk in to what I have for you. If you'll just understand the fact that God unlocks the corporate blessing through having a revelation of who Jesus is. If we get a revelation of who Jesus is as a church and what he came to do and the potential that he has in this body, and we unlock that, there's nothing this body can't do for Christ. There's no place we can't step into and make a difference in people's lives. Hallelujah. Praise God, all two of you are with me. Hallelujah. Listen, when we use the principles of God, we have to embrace them. In other words, we don't just have to, it says, and blessed is the man that delights himself in the Lord. In other words, we have to embrace God's promises. We have to embrace his revelation for our lives. We have to embrace his promises in our life. And when we embrace them, then we can step into the promise that God has for us. And so there are things that come out of unity and corporate blessing that we can't get individually. I told them Thursday in 1 Corinthians 12, I went through and talked about how Paul said that there are two foundation stones and the principles of the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit of God. The first one was unity, the power of unity. The strength of unity unlocks the gifts of the Spirit. It's the foundation by which we need to do. Listen, it's one thing for us to allow God to move in the Spirit, but if we're not in unity as a church, nobody's going to get free. Nobody's going to get changed. Nobody's going to be impacted if we don't walk in unity. And then Paul said the most excellent thing is what? Is love. Love has to be the foundation of everything that we do in the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, we don't prophesy just because we want to prophesy. We prophesy because we there's a foundation of love there. I pray for the sick because I love that individual. I want to see them free. And so the foundation of everything we have to do is love. And so he begins to tell it and begins to show us. And he goes on through 1 Corinthians 12. And he talks about that the gifts of the Spirit may be a manifestation that they may to show or that they could function. In 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, it gives us the nine gifts of the Spirit. And then in verse 11, it says that we should receive all. In other words, the Bible is saying without limit. In other words, God does not want to put restriction. There's no limits on what he can do. There's no limits on his Spirit. There's no limits on what God, what gifts that God wants to bring into your life and into my life. In other words, it means this, that he releases all as he wills. That's an interesting word because it means this. It means as he wills. It means what is your capacity? Now, think about this for a moment. God unlocks potential in our church through revelation. We take the promises of God. And we say that if we're obedient to the promises of God, all of a sudden God will bless us corporately because we're obedient to the word. Right? But unity, our capacity, he releases the gifts of the Spirit into the church as he wills. Here's what the word means. It means a capacity to handle. Now, God's not going to release anything into this body that we're not mature enough to handle. God's not going to do anything in this church that we're not mature enough to step into or we have the capacity to handle. God's not going to put anything on us that's going to overwhelm us or that we're going to misuse or not manage right. We can't expect God to come in and to bless our church when we don't have unity in this church, right? God can't pour his Spirit out in here unless we're all walking in the same step, unless we're all in unity together. Then God can release his gifts based upon the capacity that we have to receive those gifts. That's why some churches flourish and some don't. That's why some churches get to their potential and some churches don't. That's why some churches are able to operate in certain levels of ministry and some can't. It's all because sometimes we don't have the capacity to receive from God. And so what happens is that God releases them as he wills, but it's his desire that we walk limitless in his gifts, limitless as a church. In other words, God wants to unlock the potential that's in here and for us to do things we never thought we could do. He wants to unlock it in us. Unlock it in us. Let me ask you this morning, how big can you dream this morning? How big can we dream as a church? How big can we think as a church? I'm not talking about size. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about changing people's lives. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about people. How big can we dream this morning? How big, how far can we go? Or do we just want to keep 100 people and 150 people and say, well, that's our church, and we'll just keep it right here all of our lives and not do anything for God. And we'll just lock ourselves in this building and hide ourselves away from a culture that needs Jesus and lock ourselves in and say, we're going to limit our own potential because we're not going to get a revelation of who you are, God. We're just going to stay where we are. Oh, but if God's people will get a revelation of who he is, he'll unlock things that we never thought he'd unlock. And he goes on in verse 25, verse 13 through 22 of 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about the body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. The foot can't say to the arm, and the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. But in verse 25, he says that there'd be no schisms or no separations. But to covet the earnest gift, in other words, to seek the desire and to burn with zeal, to covet the earnest gifts of God, the more useful ones in our life, the ones that we use to serve others with. Now, I want to show you something. You don't have to turn there. If you're still there in Judges 6, you can look over. But I want you to see something. The Bible says in Judges 6, it says in Judges 6 through 11, what we begin to see, it says this. It says that in Judges 6, 11, or 6:16, it says, and God had come to them. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the Ithium tree, And he said, and as they operated as one man. In other words, as they operated as one man. In chapter 20 and verse 1, he said, the children of Israel, the congregation gathered together as one man. In verse 8 of chapter 20, it says, and the people arose, and none of them went down to the camp, but they all operated as one man. In verse 11, it says, they all operated and became united as one man. I don't know if the people of God ever did anything together, right? And so the key is that they operated as one man. They came as one man. Ezra chapter 3, when they were headed back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, Ezra got the people together to worship, and the Bible says the people gathered together as one man and worship. And then it said in Nehemiah chapter 1, when Nehemiah was bringing them back and rebuilt the temple and they began to read the word of God, it said they began to read and do the word together as one man. In other words, it's shown the power of unity. Whatever we come into agreement with or unity with, we receive the blessing that comes with that promise. Covenant people come together as one man, and God pours out. And he looks on us as though we are part and connected. And he blesses us according to who we're connected with and who we have agreement with. Now think about this for a second. You can be saved and be obedient to God. But if you're around people who are not in agreement with God and who are not walking in unity with God, you'll receive the blessing that'll come out corporately on those folks, even though you're obedient to God. In other words, you'll receive the blessing of the people you come in agreement with and the people that who you walk in covenant with. Ha ha ha. Think about that for a moment. In other words, you receive the blessing who your life comes in agreement with, what group of people you walk with, whatever corporate blessing is poured out on that church, that's the blessing that you receive corporately because you've come in agreement with that group of people. We know that through Scripture. We know the Bible said that in Malachi, God said to them, he said, for you have been disobedient and you have robbed me. And they said, what have we robbed you of? He said, of your tithes and offerings. And the Bible said that God dealt with them as one nation. It didn't mean that everybody had robbed God. It just meant that the most of them had robbed God. There had been a corporate disobedience that had taken place. And what happens was God came and dealt with them as a corporate body. Listen, this is important because we say, well, why do Christians need to stand up in the hour we live in? Why do we need to be involved in politics? Why do we need to be involved in standing up for what's right? I'll tell you why. Because righteousness exalts a nation. And when we stand for what is right, and we stand, we will receive with a blessing that comes on this nation based on the obedience that this nation lives in. Right? So if they're crazy up in Washington, and they lost their mind, and they're disobedient, and they mock God and take away from God, we will receive what this nation deserves. Y'all ain't not hearing me this morning. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when God may remove his protection from this nation. And it's not about the fact that there's not Christians in this nation. There are some good Christians. But if we're not obedient corporately as a nation, God will lift his hand off of this nation and we'll experience things in this nation that we would not experience had we walked in unity and in righteousness in God. Huh? Can I tell? Yeah. Can I tell you this morning, the same thing applies to this body. The same thing applies to this church. If we walk in obedience, live upright before God, we be who we say we're going to be, we honor our word, we love people and minister and do what we say we're going to do and live life that is above reproach and decide that we're going to live on a higher level, the blessing that comes on this place will come on you and will come on me and we'll all walk in peace. But it's revelation that unlocks it. That's why the Bible says that the Tower of Babel, it said indeed the people were as one. And he confused their language. It happens with every group that God deals with. That's why Psalms 133 says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands a blessing on them. In other words, there's a commanded blessing. There's a blessing that is above. You know what that word means? It means the best that God has in His highest order. In other words, when the brethren walk in unity together, God commands a blessing. The commanded blessing is God's highest blessing, or His highest reward for obedience in that area that we walk. Man, that's good news to us as believers this morning. And we can do corporately what we can't do individually, and blessing will fall on us all together. And so God is looking for a corporate church. And so we have to respect unity in the church this morning. We have to respect the unity in which God and what He is doing in the church this morning. God wants to take us to a place corporately that we had no idea we could go. But there has to be a level of obedience. And so revelation unlocks the potential, and the prophetic unlocks the vision. The prophetic unlocks the vision. What would it mean as a corporate body, those of you that are business owners, if you have no vision for your company? You'll never get nowhere. You'll never know you've gotten there when you got there. You'll never know if you're on track. So what the prophetic does to the church is the prophetic unlocks where we're going. And it lets the church know what it looks like when we're getting there and when we're heading that way. And so God wants to unlock unity in our life, potential in our life this morning, potential in the church this morning. Unlock the potential that is inside each of us. Listen, all of us have, God wants to bless individually. But I'm telling you, we're living in a day when we've lost respect for unity in this church. We have to strive aggressively for unity in the body. We have to come against the spirits of division that try to destroy what God is doing. If you'd come this morning, guys, listen. There's a place that God wants us to go as a corporate body this morning. Stand with me if you would this morning. I don't think we take corporate unity as serious in the church as we should be. I think it's a serious thing. I think God wants to bring unity. I believe God wants to move in churches. He wants to move in this church. I believe He wants to take us to a place and take us to levels in our lives and in our walk that we'll look back someday and go, oh my God, how in the world did we get there? And so we have to understand this morning that we have to be aggressive toward unity. Paul said this. He said, mark those who cause division in the body. In other words, Paul was aggressive. That's how important unity was in the body. That's how important unity was, that there can't be hindrances to corporate blessings. Let me say it like this. If me and my wife, and somebody comes and mistreats my wife, and they come up and they mistreat her, and I say, oh, honey, don't worry about that. Let's just bless them in the name of the Lord. I could tell you that when I went to sleep that night, I'd probably have a frying pan upside my head. But here's what happens is we as a church sometimes will tolerate people mistreating people in the body and causing division and unity in the body. And we just overlook it and accept it. Instead of being aggressive and saying, hey, you're not going to talk about my church that way. Right? I know that some of them folks ain't all right, but they're part of my church. right? But a lot of times we just tolerate things. And so I would never let somebody mistreat my wife. Why would I let somebody mistreat God's bride? Jesus' wife, his church. It may not be the best thing going, but it's the best thing going in this world. And so we've got to walk into a place of unity to where we're aggressively seeking out unity in the body. Saying, God, what you want to do corporately, we want you to touch us. If you'll just reach where you are, just reach over and grab your neighbor's hand this morning. This is my prayer for you this morning. We're going to pray. This is my prayer for you this morning. Two things. I pray that God will unlock the potential that is in this church. That we have a revelation of who we are in Christ. If we'll get that this morning, there's nothing that this church can't accomplish. I don't ever want to be a church where people are always talking about what could be. Well, that church could be a good church if. They could have an impact if. Father, we just pray this morning that you would unlock revelation to us about the potential that is inside of us. That we would have a revelation of your promises that are for the church. That we would have a revelation, God, of who you are. And that there's nothing we can't accomplish without you. I pray this morning that, God, there be such unity in this body. That, Lord, we would love one another to the place to where, God, that we would lock arms so tight that, God, that we would march even think alike. I pray, God, that when you speak to me, you're already speaking to the people. I pray, God, that when you speak to the leadership of this church, you're already speaking to the people of this church. I pray there'd be such unity in this church that, God, that when we say yes, we mean yes. And that we walk in step in everything we do. I pray, God, that you'll put such a potential in this church, that you'll unlock that potential, that, God, we'll be able to break strongholds off people's lives, strongholds off this city, strongholds off this government of this city. That you'll open doors for us we never thought would be open because of unity. And I pray that this unity would be so strong that, Father, that you could release the gifts of the Spirit into this place. The Bible said that they were in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And a mighty rushing wind came. And the Spirit of God breathed on them. And they began to speak with other tongues. And the Bible said their unity brought 3,000 to the church that day and added to the church. All because 120 people gathered themselves together and said, hey, we're going to walk this thing out together. And I speak unity over this body. And I speak revelation. Unlock what is in us, oh God. You said if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and answer their prayer. Then, God, you said, and now, which means at this moment, may we come to the place, God, we can have everything that you have promised us. Lord, I pray over this congregation. Would you just begin to pray for that person on your left and right? Would you just begin to pray for them and ask God to bless them, to bring unity to them in their life, Father? We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for the person that's on our right and on our left. We speak life over them. We speak blessing over them. We speak hope. We pray, God, that you'll bring unity. That, God, that you'll bless their house and their home, Lord God. And whatever need they have this morning, I pray that you'll meet. I pray that there'll be nothing missing or lacking in their lives. That, God, you'll fulfill everything that is in them. I pray the blessing of God will be on their children, on their home, on their jobs, Where their feet tread, they shall prosper. Where they go, they shall have influence. I pray for favor on my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, God, that you'll bless them coming in and going out. You'll bless them from beginning to end. And I pray now, God, that when they are blessed and when they get victory, I will rejoice as though you've done it for me. I will rejoice when my sister gets free. I will rejoice when my brother gets free. I will rejoice when members of my church find victory and success. We will rejoice together, God, for what church you put together and you have joined together. We pray that nothing will separate your body and nothing can separate your church. I speak prophetically over River Valley this morning that, God, there'll be nothing that can cause division in this body. We will mark those that cause division, and God, we will walk in unity, and I speak life over this church, and that there'll be such unity, God, that we will not even be able to comprehend the blessings that you pour out on this church corporately. We know this is not about a man. It's not about two people. It's not about this or that, but it's about you, God. You're going to bless the whole congregation. All of God's people will be blessed. Now we just release your blessing now in Jesus' name. As we leave here this morning, God, I just pray that, God, that we would fall in love with one another. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with the hope that we have in Christ. Now bless this church in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.